Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I am Judy Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Sandy Fowler. And today, I just want to jump right in because we are tackling a topic that is something that I personally have struggled with since I was a teenager and the same age as all of your kids out there. In fact, at times, even now, in my 50s, I continue to be challenged by the core crap that triggered anorexia in my teens, bulimia in college, and the roller coaster of that whole unhealthy gaining and losing of the same 50 pounds as I got older. What's interesting for me is that the worst part isn't the damage to me physically. I mean, which I know it's wreaked havoc on my metabolism and everything else. But the thing that gets me about this whole mindset is that my self-image is crap. I have a poor self-image and it really impacts my daily life. A lot of people are out there going, you would never guess that is the thing that is triggering and challenging to me, or when I look in the mirror, all I see is the flaws, but it's something I work on consistently. And it's that little voice inside my head that says I'm not good enough. It's that voice that wants to control the world around me when things get a little crazy and stressful. And every single thing manifests in a lot of unhealthiness for me personally, and none of which supports the thing that I know is so important, and that is to love ourselves first. And so honestly, self-esteem, self-love, avoiding putting myself first or making myself a priority has been a battle for me since I was little. So I can't wait to dive in today because I'm hoping that I walk away with some kind of a nugget that will just flip that switch so it won't be such a challenge day in and day out. And I know, Sandy, you watched me go up and down and seen this struggle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, I've watched you struggle with this. And the thing that really struck me about it is what you said, that other people would never know. You know, no one who spends time with you would have any idea that you struggle with self-image, with self-love. And that was one of the things that I really wanted to dig into with our guest, with Paula today, is this idea of how do we know? Because even as your close friend and your business partner, you know, I'm someone who, it's not in person now, it's over the phone, but we've spent many, many, many days, years, months together in person, and I forget because it's just not obvious that that's what you're doing. And so the really scary thought to me is, you know, are our kids struggling with this? And it's just not obvious that that's what's happening. You know, is it something that we might just be missing as a parent as well, whether it's our kid or one of their friends or a niece or a nephew or whatever? But today's guest, Paula Galley, she's going to help us out because she has lived through this. She struggled with an eating disorder through her teen and young adult years. And she, big part of her overcoming it was this building self-love of what she defines as self-talk. And we'll get into that. But now she is coaching others in achieving this self-love. How do you find this? Because it's not just about eating disorders. It's about a million ways in which we sabotage our own life. So we're going to take advantage of her personal experience and her professional experience and her mom experience and really just find out what we need to know about this as parents. So Paula, welcome to Mighty Parenting and thanks for joining our community today.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
So Paula, you do coaching. You kicked all this off when we met many, many years ago. It was about your book, Weighing Love, mm-hmm. which is about your journey through an eating disorder. But when I read that book, while I understand that in your case, this manifested itself as an eating disorder, there are all kinds of things that can happen when we don't love ourselves. And that's what you talk about at the beginning of the book. You talk about our own relationship with ourselves. So I guess I want to go to that really foundational place and start with, what do you even mean when you talk about having a relationship with ourselves?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think of it this way. It's, you know, we're all in relationships, like the two of you are friends and coworkers. That's a relationship that you have with one another. And we have relationships with, you know, all of our family members and even our pets. And if you really take a step back, you do have a relationship with yourself, but it's something that isn't really talked about ever. But if you think about it, the way that you talk to yourself, you know, either like out loud or in your own mind, you're constantly in relation with yourself. And at the end of the day, I think that that's something that needs to be put at top priority, to be a relationship that you invest in and take care of and nurture in the same way that you would do with your child or your husband or your partner or your friend. Because the way that we're kind of raised in our society, it's that those things take precedence over actually, you know, taking the time to get to know you and taking the time to take care of you. So that's really about the relationship with yourself. It's how do you talk to yourself inside of your own mind? How do you talk to yourself? Like, you know, Judy was saying when she looked in, like her physical appearance, like what's going on inside of your mind when you're looking at yourself in the mirror? That is all a relationship with yourself. How do you treat yourself? Does that kind of answer what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely kicks it off. So
yeah,
you know, there is this relationship with ourselves. It's the way we talk to ourselves, how we treat ourselves, you said. So how does not having a good relationship with ourselves affect us? Or in this case, you know, how does it, if our teens or tweens, 20 somethings, if our child doesn't have that good relationship with themselves, how does it affect them?
Yeah, I guess we could look at relationship with ourselves even as, you know, having a good self-esteem or not. I think it's when the relationship with ourselves affects our self-esteem and we don't feel good about ourselves and we obviously don't have a good relationship with ourselves, you know. And as a teenager myself who went through periods of like really hating myself, obviously that's like if I was, you know, married to someone who I hated, I'm not going to be in a happy state all the time. So if I'm walking around the world feeling like I don't like who I am, that's going to affect, you know, my mental state, my emotional state, my physical state. That's going to affect everything. So when we talk about relationship with ourselves, it really comes down to, do you go to bed at night feeling good about who you are and about, you know, what your day has been and when what you've done? Or are you going to bed kind of beating yourself up for everything you did wrong? Or it comes back, I think, to the self-esteem.
Well, I want to kind of go to a place of why, because it's fascinating to me, Paula, because in our young kids, we have self-love all over. You know, you see a 3 or 4 year old and they love the world. They love themselves. They look in the mirror and say, I'm so beautiful.
But totally.
Something shifts. Why? Yep. What's happening?
Yeah, I know. It's the question I always ask. You know, I have a 3 year old right now and it's the same thing. Like, stares herself in the mirror and thinks she's the bee's knees. And I look at her kind of through the lens of myself even. I'm like, at what age did I stop doing that when I was young? And I kind of remember, and I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the influence of us, you know, the people around us. A lot of adults themselves don't, like, if you start paying attention to how people talk, people don't necessarily talk the best about themselves. And kids pick up on that kind of stuff. We're told not to brag and to tell, you know, talk about our good qualities. The culture that we live in too, everything is always about, you know, how you can be prettier or how you can be skinnier, or how you can be smarter. It's kind of influencing us to look at our faults. And I think as a really young kid, you're not really affected by that yet, but by 4, 5, 6, you can already see that kids start to change the way that they, you know, feel about themselves. And that is quite young. But I do think that the culture and society, and then, you know, I'm not sure how the parents directly speak to themselves or speak to their children. They might be putting their own insecurities about their body or their intelligence and be putting that insecurity onto their child, and their child picks that up, even if it's in subtle ways. Kids are very attentive to things, and they're, you know, they can read between the lines. So I think a lot of it does have to do with external influences, because we're not born feeling like crap about ourselves. We're born feeling in love with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So it's our parents' fault. No, I don't mean
that. I guess
that. So. You know, no. I don't mean that literally, but in some ways it's not even a conscious impact.
It's not a conscious thing. Yeah. Like even my mother, for example, because I'm so conscious of this now. And I, like I said, I have a little 3-year-old now. My mom will even say, like, for example, my daughter got a bunch of mosquito bites on her face. And my mom's like, oh, her beautiful face, it's going to get all scarred. I hope it doesn't get like ruined or whatever. And I'm like, Mom, like, don't talk like that about her. Just already putting the impact of image, right? And she doesn't mean anything of it. And I was thinking the same thing, but I'm conscious to not say those things to my daughter because I don't want that to be something she's thinking about. But my mom didn't mean anything by it. But it's just, you know, those little subtle things that people say, even about food or about, you know, what you're wearing or your body shape. I don't think anyone means to do it, but it happens because mm-hmm. the person themselves hasn't necessarily even become aware that they're speaking like that and how that is detrimental probably to them as well.
Mm-hmm. So as a parent, what should we be commenting on? And, you know, are there certain things that are okay and others topics and things that are taboo?
You know what? I don't want to act like I know the answer to that. I think that I'm in the beginning of the parenting process, so I don't want to act like I know what to do with teenagers. But I think if I could put myself back into a teenager's mindset, having comments made about me, about my appearance and about my weight wasn't necessarily a good thing. And I don't know what the point of it was. So I think if I can look at it that way, I don't see why parents need to point out that kind of stuff. I think it's more maybe having a conversation with the child and trying to get them to open up about how they feel about themselves versus what your opinion towards those issues are.
So if we don't know or we suspect, I guess, how can we tell if our child does or does not have a good relationship with themselves? Like, are there indicators? Are there things they might say or do that would just mm-hmm. be that red flag to go, hey, pay attention, Mom, or pay attention, Dad, you know, or start that conversation that you were talking about of trying to find out, you know, how they feel about themselves. But are there indicators that there's an issue?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like if you, again, because eating disorders is something that I've worked with and I know it is really related to self-love and body image and self-esteem. If we can focus on that for a little bit in terms of if you see like a change in someone's behavior or relationship with food, if they're talking a lot about their weight, if they're making comments about, you know, clothes not fitting because their body's changing, I would just start paying attention to the way the child is speaking. That's an outright obvious indication that something's going on, or, you know, I ate bad this week. It's like, if they're always talking like that, that's already showing that they're not necessarily feeling good about themselves. Then there's the kids that don't talk about this stuff out loud, and that's where it gets a bit trickier. But I think it's also just being mindful, you know, when you're sitting down and having a meal with your child, like, are they eating the food? Do things look different? Do you notice a difference in them? I think trusting your own intuition too. You know, you raised your child. I know the teenage years get a bit difficult, but at the same time, I think trusting your own self, if you feel like something's up, to not ignore that, you know, parent intuition, to maybe dive into that a little bit more and try to have a conversation with your child about how they're feeling about themselves would be a really good start.
Well, you hit on a couple of things there that would apply both in the food realm and out of it. That the first thing you said was, if you've seen a change. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we can look at that in terms of other things in their life too. Just if we're seeing that the way they are experiencing things in their life, like the way you talked about how they're experiencing food, if they're starting to sound a little obsessed with something. In your book, I'm trying to remember exactly how you put it, but you talked about that idea of when it came to the weight, it was, you know, the number on the scale, the calories you ate. Those were mm-hmm. the things that were determining your self-worth. And mm-hmm. so you hear that in terms of, you know, maybe for some kids, it could be that they funnel it into shopping or into yep. clothes and having the status symbols or the right car or yep. bike or technology. But if we start seeing that other things outside of themselves are becoming more important than who they are, or if they seem to be treating themselves differently based on what they do or what they have, that those mm-hmm, mm-hmm. indicators are red flags.
Yeah. And I think that that's very common. Like, you just get a big, you know, range of things, like you said, clothes or certain brand names or certain ways to, you know, look a certain way or have certain things. I think that that's very common for a lot of teenagers. You know, they're questioning themselves, trying to figure out who they are. And oftentimes it's using, you use external things to try to define yourself or to make yourself part of a certain group. And I think if you, like you said, notice the change, that something they've gone through, some sort of difference, and this is becoming more important than what they used to focus on, it's, you know, how can you sit down with them and not attack and just have like an open dialogue with them and even say, like, you know, I've seen that there's been this shift in you. You know, what's going on? How are you feeling? Is there something you want to talk about? I think it would be a good opener to see if they would let you know where they're at. Yeah. I go back to the teenage mindset because I know it so well. I remember being there. It's not that the teenager is going to just flat right open. They might not even realize what they're going through, right? It's often in retrospect that you look back and like, oh, I was doing that because of this. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about monitoring it and keeping an eye on it. And if you notice, like, you know, this month this is going on, and 6 months later it seems like it's getting worse, then maybe it's to the point where you want to go get professional help if it's something that you can't open up yourself. But I think a lot of parents do see this stuff, but they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I would say, you know, taking it to that next step of getting a professional or third party in mm-hmm. is sometimes not what you want to do, but I think it's what you would want to do looking back, knowing if it would help. Because it's a tricky age to communicate with your teenager at that point.
Well, and I think the end goal becomes the uncovering what is the core thing that's going on mm-hmm. when, you know, when they're restricting or binging or cutting or drinking too much, any of those self-harming behaviors, oftentimes mm-hmm. in these kids, it's they're trying to control something that they really feel they have no control over. At least that was the case for mm-hmm. me. You know,
totally.
Went on, and it's like, how do we help them and nurture that self-love and help them turn it around? Do you have any like tips that mm-hmm. might help them turn things around within themselves even, or so that they don't pass it on to their kids?
Yes. Well, I think that's you just nailed it on the head with that too. It starts with us. You know, it's like the Gandhi quote, be the change you want to see in the world. If you feel like crap about yourself and you're walking around commenting about things that you wish were different about you physically or not physically, that's something you need to catch within yourself, because your child is being around that all the time. So to them, that's normal. And that's the way they should probably speak to themselves. So I think for a parent to start with themselves, it's like I said, getting conscious of how are you speaking externally? Can you catch yourself the next time you do that and try to say something kind about yourself? Or if it's not happening externally, notice how you're talking to yourself internally. I always go back to the dialogue we have with ourselves, because to me, that's the root of everything. It's like, I always use the example, if you wanted to move to a foreign country to fully assimilate in that country, you're not going to fully be part of that culture unless you know how to speak the language. And it's the same way with self-love. If you want to love yourself and feel good about yourself, if you're constantly putting yourself down and speaking really negatively to yourself, you're never going to attain that self-love status or way of being. So for me, with all of my clients, I always come back to, you know, let's go through what you're really saying to yourself and write it on paper. Like, get as raw and honest as you can of how you speak to yourself, and how can we flip those thoughts? Just like you would learn the new language, we need to learn the self-love language. And to me, that's really where all of this work begins, because we do have the power to retrain our mind. Like we spoke about earlier, children aren't brought up speaking about themselves in a negative way. They're brought up thinking that they're the greatest things ever. So we need to actually go back and unlearn everything that we got taught, from a particular age up, and get back to that truth of who we were born to be. And hopefully through that, maybe even the process the parents would go through themselves, that they could actually share what they're learning with their children. And you know, if they catch them saying something negatively about themselves, saying, hey, you know, you didn't really kind of speak that nice to yourself. Like, would you speak to your best friend like that? And I guarantee the child will say, no, I would never say that to my friend. So it's like, well, then why are you saying that about yourself? And helping them become conscious of the way they're speaking to themselves or putting themselves down, because there's a lot of power just in that shift, just in talking or thinking differently about yourself.
It's so true. And, you know, at Mighty Parenting, we believe in the power of community and helping each other. And this is a place I just want to encourage us as parents to talk about this topic with our friends and to tell our friends that we're working on it. I know it was actually just a few months ago, Judy and I were working, and she's like, you know, Sandy, I've noticed lately you keep saying you're stupid or you did something stupid. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea I'd started saying that. And while I don't think I honestly believe that, it started out as just, you know, kind of maybe a funny comment, but you start picking that up and you start saying it. And even if you didn't believe it to start with, or you don't think you did, one, maybe you do believe it, and two, you'll begin to believe it. So I like that idea of talking to our friends and talking to our kids about it, because as teenagers, this is such a great way to teach them, is by saying, hey, I am working on this. I am working on being kinder to me and appreciating my good points instead of always focusing on my faults. So if you hear me doing this, or you notice me doing that, would you please tell me? And that's also a way to open that dialogue with them a little bit that you were talking about.
Totally. Yeah. And I think we all, like, you know, this is something I work with clients all the time. And I'm actually working on a book right now for self-love for moms. And I was setting something to my editor, and in my email, I wrote something and I put myself down, and then I rewrote it, and I wrote back to her, and I was like, wait, I don't mean that. I don't even know why that came out of my mouth. Like, it's just, sometimes we just say things that we don't even realize we're saying, and we have to catch ourselves. Even when you do this work as much as I do, it's still in there. It's a lot of subconscious, unconscious beliefs that come out in what we're saying. So I think that that's a great, you know, it's a great thing that you just said, is asking them, like, enrolling them in this process. This is what I'm doing for myself. I'd love for you to, like, you know, call me on this if I'm doing it. And I guarantee that the more that they're part of this with you, they're going to start to think of themselves, and they're going to start to think of the way that they're speaking, because I sure as heck didn't have any sort of indication of this in high school. All of my friends, all everyone did was put themselves down and wish that they looked different or were smarter or this and that. It was just the culture of being a teenager. So it wasn't like I was surrounded by a bunch of friends who, you know, this is just the way everyone spoke. So I think if you can start being that change at home, hopefully there'll be that ripple effect with your child, and then hopefully they can even help their friends. Because I know for me, once I got into all this, I would call my friends on stuff all the time, and they're like, oh, I didn't even realize I was saying that. So a lot of it is unconscious.
Exactly. And it's really interesting as you do this, it brings up the memory of my daughter and I a year ago took a road trip across country to our new duty station. And in that moment, she's in her 20s and, you know, she's married with kids of her own. And we had a long talk about this whole self-love thing, because she, as a mom, she's got a 5-year-old and now a 16-month-old. And she was like working on her, making herself a priority, because she felt like she was getting lost. And she found that in doing that, she stopped, you know, she started doing some of the patterns that she had seen in how I handled stress and just whatever it was. And so the two of us made a pact. And I think that that's the point I want to bring up here is when you touched on, you and Sandy both touched on the fact that if you talk to your teen or 20 something and say, this is what I'm working on, we both decided to hold each other accountable. And what's really mm-hmm. been so powerful for both of us is that now when those, you know, negative self-talk come up, or if we say, I didn't get to work out today, or I didn't eat really well this weekend, it's like we are helping each other find that healthy line, because you don't mm-hmm. want to just say you don't have to do it, because there's things that you need to keep yourself healthy. But there's also mm-hmm. the obsessive side of it that it can become self-deprecating. So it's really interesting that you bring up the point of, let's just talk about it. Let's bring it out in the open, either with our friends, and as our kids get older, give them a peek into how we struggle with the self-love. Mm-hmm. And by asking them to call you out on it, and if you share how it's affected your life negatively, they're actually seeing that. Your kids know you. Like you said, they model us. They see what we do. They know our shortcomings. And I believe that if we as parents can honor our shortcomings and go forward despite them, we can really give our kids the power to learn that self-love language. But I had a question about that whole mm-hmm. self-love language. Are there specific things that are positive self-love messages that we should be saying to ourselves or sharing with our kids to help us move into that place that's positive? Like, what does that language look like, I guess, is what my question is.
Yeah, like the self-love language. Well, that's mm-hmm. what I call it. But
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. For me, I mean, working with enough clients, a lot of it is kind of the same. But then, you know, depending on the person, there's more specific things that what they're struggling with, you have to work on. But, you know, just saying, I'm good enough. I am worthy. I'm deserving of love. I'm a good person. Like, you know, basic things that you hear all the time, but a lot of people don't think about themselves or even register that they need to say that a lot more. Just basic things like that, like something, the best way I would always say to clients, I'm like, how would you speak to the person you love the most in your life? And that's always easy for them to give me a list of answers. When I say, how would you speak to yourself if you're trying to be kind, it's sometimes more difficult. So for a lot of people starting out thinking this way, think of the things that you would say to someone that you really care about if they were sitting across from you and totally just putting themselves down and they, you know, were feeling like crap about themselves. What would you say to encourage them, to remind them how wonderful they are? And you wouldn't even have to think. It would just come out. So that's like that automatic comforting and that automatic reminding of them how wonderful they are. That's what the self-love language is. That's what you want to start doing with yourself. And that goes back to the relationship with yourself, right? You so easily can tell your friend or your son or your daughter or whoever it is how amazing they are. But when it comes to ourselves, we've lost that. And that's what we need to get back.
Just saying, if anyone's listening and wants to try this at home, you know, I would say just for the next couple of days, just pay attention to some of the things that you're saying to yourself when you're brushing your teeth or you're combing your hair or putting on your clothes. If you notice, you 99% of what you think today, you thought yesterday. So a lot of what we're thinking is just the same stuff. And if it's negative, it's the same negative crap happening every single day. I'm saying crap a lot in this interview, but it's true. There's a lot of negative stuff in us. So even just write down two of those things or three of those things that you notice you've been saying to yourself for the last week. I guarantee you've probably been saying it to yourself for years. So write those down. And then what would be the opposite of that? If you were speaking kind instead of that thought, what would be the kind thought? And just try to even just start with saying those three things. Every time you're combing your hair and that negative thought comes up, just say the positive one. And the more you say it, the more that's going to be take over that negative one that's just in, you know, in your brain. It's like this is like a science-based thing. There's a neural pathway in your brain. This isn't just like some fluffy thing. There's an actual like neural pathway in your brain that you just automatically think that thought over and over and over, it just gets fired. We need to create a new one. So it's going to, that new neural pathway is going to happen the more you repeat these new thoughts, this new self-love language. And it just takes time. Just like if you were learning a different language, you wouldn't automatically go and speak that foreign language. You would always go back, let's say if it's English, you'd always go back to English because it's what your brain knows. It's what's natural. It's what's comforting. But you have to give yourself that time. Sorry, I'm really out of breath because I'm so pregnant, but I'm trying to.
I know, like, I just thought it was passion, Paula, so we're good.
No, yeah. It's passion, but I'm also just super pregnant. So I'm like, well, I'm out of breath. yeah, so I think it's that. It's reminding yourself, if you were learning a new language, you wouldn't expect yourself to speak Italian fluently in a month. That's just be unrealistic. You would be more kind and be like, yeah, it's going to take me time. It's the same thing with speaking kindly to ourselves. Like you were saying, like for me too, I was mean to myself for almost 20 years. You know, I can't expect that in 2 weeks, I'm going to be, oh yeah, I love myself. This is just great. You have to rewire the way that you think, the way that you see yourself, the way that you see the world. It's a transformation, right? It's a process.
It is. And I love your, you know, talking about it as a foreign language, because it is a foreign language that when that's not the way we do it. And then taking some of those simple tips for learning, like you said, first notice what we say to ourselves when we brush our teeth, when we brush our hair, when we do different daily tasks. And I'm kind of going, okay, so once I notice those and I flip it over, I think for me, I wouldn't just wait for the negative thought to come up. I mean, obviously, yes, when the negative thought comes up, we need to replace it and think the positive thought. But I think for me, I would also need to start just practicing. So I would say, every time I brush my teeth, I'm just going to repeat this to myself, you know, one time, five times, whatever, or I'm going to go through these five thoughts and just say that to myself. And I have to start tying that into habits and routines in my day to make it start happening.
Totally. And for clients, what I say to them is, you know, grab a post-it, write those three things down that you want to work on, stick it on one of your mirrors. Or like you said, associating it to other things. A big one for a lot of women that I work with is their body image. You're naked in the shower. What a perfect opportunity to work on it there. You know, when you're cleaning your leg or cleaning your arm or whatever you want to do, say one or two of those thoughts to yourself while you're showering. So like you said, linking it with things that you do every day, it's a good reminder of, okay, time for me to say these couple of nice things about myself.
And call in the troops. I mean, ask the people that are around you all the time to not only just call you out when they hear the negative. A lot of times when you're learning a new language, you want to converse with someone who speaks that language so that you get it right. So asking other people to say what you should be saying in your mind and out of your mouth is really powerful as well. And that's, I think, how we as parents can really model and help our teens, is to do that whole, I notice, I see. What if you replace that with this? And then you're going to get eye rolls. I mean, you're going to get, you don't understand, Mom. Okay, so you might think I don't understand, but the reality is when I was your age, this is what I thought, and this is the actions that I took, and it was really unhealthy, and I don't want you to have that. I think being transparent to age appropriateness, transparency is key in shifting. And I think it's a societal thing, like you said, Paula. It's so much more than just the parents, but that's where we can start. That's where we can help, and we can encourage, especially, you know, when you see a bunch of little girls that are all at your house watching movies together or something, and you hear them all talking about, you know, how fat they are and this, it's okay to interject into their conversation and ask them, well, you know, what is that really saying? You know, are you looking for other people to tell you you're not fat, or why are you saying that? You know, and start having them question what and how is the programmed response. We want to shift that programming.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've been to a few high schools where I've, you know, had programs with teenage girls, and something as simple as showing them, I don't know if you guys are familiar, a couple of years actually, it may have been a decade now, like the Dove self-esteem programs. Have you seen those videos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would just show those videos to the girls, and it, you know, things have changed a lot now with social media and the fact that now people can do all the filtering on their phones themselves. But at this time, it was mind-blowing for a lot of the girls to be like, oh, that's not actually what people look like, or that's, you know, that not the way that things are. So I think just like you said, interjecting and kind of shining some adult knowledge onto what they don't know would be really helpful, because I definitely, as a teenager, didn't have anyone pointing that kind of stuff out for me. So I'm influenced by my friends who are influenced by the media and culture around me. So I'm just kind of following suit. I never really had parents or adults step in. And like you said, who knows how I would have reacted. Maybe I should have been like, yeah, you guys are old, you don't know what you're talking about. But at the same point, you don't know if one thing that you say is going to spark something in one child or in your child. So I think being transparent is really, really important. And like we said, trying to teach by example.
And once you say it, no matter what their response is, they heard it and they can't
totally.
So that's just one more positive thought in their brain. And if things stick more than we realize, I love Kate Winslet for her acting, but I love her even more because I found out, we talked about this on one of the other shows, I think it was the Dana Sukow show that we did on body image. And in her contract, she actually puts in her contract that no one's allowed to Photoshop her thighs. And somebody did, one of the magazines or something, and she went after them. And when I first heard about that, I mentioned it to my girls. We're just talking in general about whatever, you know, a casual conversation. And my daughter remembered it later. So it, you know, we're having some other conversation years later and I bring up something about Kate Winslet and she pops up with, oh yeah, and she doesn't let people Photoshop her thighs, you know, the thoughts are there. No matter how they react, no matter what they say, those things are there and us telling them those positive things will help. But so I just want to kind of go back for a minute and bring this all together for myself and hopefully for you guys. So what we're talking about today is relationship with self. And that comes from basically how you talk to yourself and how you treat yourself. And a poor relationship with ourself is going to affect our mental, emotional, and physical state. So as parents, you know, if we're looking at our kids and going, how do I know if they don't have a great relationship with themselves? We can look for things like, are they developing an attitude where external things define them? Or are they having big changes in their behavior and their relationship with food or with things in their life or with things that they do? And listen to how they're talking about those things. And if we think there's a concern, start opening a dialogue. And we want to, when we do that, what we want to do is we want to uncover the core thing that's going on there. As we're trying to shift things for ourselves and teach our kids something better than what we had, we want to teach about self-love. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is to do it ourselves. But that means learning the self-love language and giving ourselves the time to learn that language and to use it. And so what we want to do is we want to have messages like, I'm good enough, I'm worthy, I'm a good person. And practice those, tell ourselves that, and really create those new neural pathways with the positive things. And by involving our kids in that and bringing them into the conversation, putting up the sticky notes in places where they can see them, that will draw them in and also help them with it. Plus, go ahead, be that adult influence and chime in when you hear things happening in a teen relationship. So Paula, you work with clients teaching self-love. You also do have your original book, Weighing Love, which, as I said, it's about your eating disorder journey, but there's so much about that because it's really about the self-love side, and that's how you overcame that. So anyone who wants to connect with you or get your book, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can find me on my website, www.paulagalli.com. And my book's available from my site as well. They can also get it from Amazon. And like I said earlier, I'm working on another book right now that's all about self-love for moms. So that's kind of in line with what we're talking about today. And yeah, if anyone has any questions or wants to connect about anything, they can always send me an email and I'd be more than happy to speak with them about anything.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Paula, and being part of the Mighty Parenting community. I know everything you shared is so valuable and something that we can take home not only for ourselves, but for our teens.
And Judy, I'm going to interrupt you for a second because for people, if you've been around, you know we have our Patreon community where we do bonus content, and I have some things I want to ask Paula. So if you're in the Patreon community, pop over to patreon.com/mightyparenting because we're going to have some bonus material definitely on today's show. And if you're not, pop on over there and find out what it's all about.
Yeah. And if it's your first time listening, welcome. Be sure to hop over to mightyparenting.com to see all we have to support you. And if you are one of our longtime listeners, we appreciate you and want to invite you to like, subscribe, and share with other people so they can get the quality information that we share every single week here at the Mighty Parenting Podcast. Don't forget that you are a mighty parent, and this is Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler wishing you the best week ever.